Thank you, and welcome to the Mesa City Council meeting for February the 26th. Councilmember Heredia is joining us via the telephone. Frankie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thank you very much. The rest of the council is present in person. The first item on our agenda is to begin the meeting with an invocation that will be offered by Pastor Kevin Mesner from the Living Word Bible Church. Welcome, Pastor. Followed by the Pledge of Allegiance that will be offered by two great scouts from my neighborhood scout troop. I'm excited to see all these good-looking guys here with us today. We're going to have J.D. Manning and Aiden Stock from Troop 564 come forward and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance immediately following the invocation. But please stand for the opening prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good evening. Father God, your word says that we should pray for all those in authority over us, and it's an honor to be here tonight, Father God, just to pray over our leaders and to pray over this meeting tonight in the city of Mesa. And my prayer is, Father God, that you would impart your wisdom to all of our elected officials, Mayor Giles and all of our council members, as well as all the appointed leaders in our community. Father, that you would give them the wisdom to know how to make these decisions, Father God, that are for the overall good of the city of Mesa, to help our city grow and expand and prosper and provide safety for all of our citizens, Father. And I would also ask, Father God, that your hand of safety and protection would be over all of our law enforcement, over our firefighters, and all of our first responders, Father God, because as they serve us, they're ultimately serving you. So, Father, again, thank you for your wisdom, thank you for your presence, and thank you for peace in the city of Mesa. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, Scouts, for helping us get off to a great start. The first item on our agenda again for this meeting is to take action on the consent agenda, and we invite Mr. Kevin Christopher forward to read the consent agenda. Mr. Christopher.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. These are the items on the consent agenda. All items will be listed with an asterisk and will be considered as a group by the City Council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license application for Christ the King Roman Catholic Parish. One-day event, Saturday, March 3rd, 1551 East Dana Avenue. Item 3B, act on liquor license application for Ultimate Imaginations. One-day event, Saturday, March 10th, on downtown Mesa Streets, on Main Street and South McDonald to First Avenue. Item 4A, act on bingo application for McGavin Ranch Activities, 8840 East Sunland Avenue. Item 5A, act on six-month extension of the term contract for citywide temporary agency worker services for the Human Resources Department. Item 5B, act on one-year renewal the term contract for office supplies and products for citywide departments and the Strategic Alliance for Volume Expenditures Cooperative members as requested by the Business Services Department. Item 5C, act on three-year term contract for print shop paper for the Business Services Department. Item 5D, act on one-year term contract for automated driveway gate operators and ADA preventative maintenance and repair services for the Parks, Recreation, and Community Facilities Department. Item 5E, act on one-year renewal of the term contract for urban lake maintenance for the Parks, Recreation, and Community Facilities Department. Item 5F, act on contract to purchase one replacement gas ceramic kiln for the Arts and Culture Department. This purchase is funded by the Mesa Arts Center Restoration Fund. Item 5G, act on contract for replacement upgrade purchase of a wireless microphone system for the Arts and Culture Department. This purchase is funded by the Mesa Arts Center Restoration Fund. Item 5H, act on contract to purchase 8 replacement ceiling acoustic curtains for the Arts and Culture Department. This purchase is funded by the Mesa Arts Center Restoration Fee. Item 5I, act on contract for replacement upgrade purchase of storage infrastructure components for the Information Technology Department. Item 5J, act on contract for or to purchase 8 additional mobile two-way radios, accessories, and related equipment for the Fire and Medical Department. Item 5K, act on 1-year term contract for firewall replacement services and parts for the Police Department. Item 5L, act on contract to purchase a liquid chromatograph time-of-flight mass spectrometer for the Police Department. This purchase is funded by a Governor's Office of Highway Safety Grant and by the Police Department operating budget. Item 5M, act on 1-year renewal to the term contract for phlebotomy services for the Police Department. Item 5N, act on contract to purchase a digital imaging system for shoe and tire impression evidence for the Police Department. This purchase is funded by crime lab assessment funds and the Police Department operating budget. Item 5O, act on 1-year renewal of the term contract for automotive lighting, mirrors, and safety supplies for the Fleet Services Department. Item 5P, act on 33-month term contract for gas service regulators for the materials and supply warehouse for the Energy Resources Department. Item 5Q, act on 1-year renewal of the term contract for illuminated street name signs and maintenance services for the Transportation Department. This purchase is funded by the Local Street Sales Tax Fund and the Transportation Operating Budget. Item 5R, act on 1-year renewal of the term contract for traffic signal control cabinets for the materials and supply warehouse for the Transportation Department. Item 5S, act on 1-year renewal of the term contract for asphalt materials for the Transportation, Energy Resources, and Water Resources Departments. Item 5T, act on 3-year term contract for concrete tools and accessories for the Transportation Department. This purchase is funded by the Local Streets Sales Tax Fund. Item 5U, act on 1-year renewal of the term contract for advanced traffic controllers for the Transportation Department. Item 5V, act on 3-year term contract for tree maintenance and assessment services for the Transportation Department. This purchase is funded by the Highway User Revenue Fund. Item 5W, act on 3-year term contract for hock bench service and replacement equipment and supplies for the Water Resources Department. Item 5X, act on dollar limit increase to the term contract for deep well and well pump maintenance and repair services for the Water Resources Department. Item 5Y, act on 1-year term contract for electrical supplies for process controls and supervisory control and data acquisition for the Water Resources Department. Item 5Z, act on dollar limit increase to the term contract for ultraviolet wastewater disinfection parts for the Water Resources Department. Item 6A, act on resolution granting a modification as allowed under Section 24-B of the Terms and Conditions for the Sale of Utilities, deferring the extension of the sewer main line in connection to the city sewer system for the property located at 1849 South Wrecker Road. Item 6B, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a memorandum of understanding with R-Cubed Mesa LLC for a mixed-use development of approximately 1 acre of city-owned property located near the southeast corner of West Pepper Place and North Robeson. This is the Pepper Place parking lot. Item 6C, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement regarding treated water with Apache Junction Water Utilities Facilities District for the treatment of limited amounts of raw water. Mesa will receive revenue annually from the district for the treated water. Item 6D, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into an intergovernmental agreement for Communications Systems Strategic Alliance as the administrative manager on behalf of the Topaz Regional Wireless Cooperative. Item 6E, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a sub-grant award agreement with the Arizona Department of Public Safety to accept grant funds from the Victims of Crime Act Victim Assistance Grant Program. A city match is required plus additional anticipated project salary cost. The grant funds will be used for personnel costs and operating expenses at the Police Department's Mesa Family Advocacy Center. Item 6F, act on resolution extinguishing a drainage easement located at 2836 South Signal Butte Road. The property owner made the request to accommodate the proposed development of new traditional academy school. Item 7A, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a development agreement with Roger D. Overson to facilitate development of an RV dealership and storage facility on property zoned general commercial planned area development located in the 8800 to 8900 blocks of East Main Street. Item 7B, act on ordinance regarding ZON 17-00323, the 8800 to 8900 blocks of East Main Street, located west of Red Mountain Freeway on the south side of Main Street. Rezone and site plan review to allow for development of an RV dealership and storage facility. Item 8A, act on subdivision plat, Southern and Stapley, the 1100 block of South Stapley Drive, and the 1200 block of East Southern Avenue. This is located north and east of the northeast corner of Stapley Drive and Southern Avenue. Item 8B, act on subdivision plat, Eastmark Development Unit 6, infrastructure for commercial parcels, the 3600 to 4000 blocks of South Everton Terrace, located south and east of Elliott and Ellsworth Roads. Item 8C, act on subdivision plat, Eastmark Development Unit 5-6, South Parcels 6-16 and 6-18 to 6-23, the 3900 to 4400 blocks of Southeast Mark Parkway on the east side, and the 3900 to 4200 blocks of South Everton Terrace on the west side. This is located south and east of Elliott and Ellsworth Roads. Item 8D, Acton Subdivision Plat, map of dedication for East Point 22 Boulevard and South Ellsworth Road, the 3600 to 4400 blocks of South Ellsworth Road, the 4900 to 5000 blocks of South Ellsworth Road, and the 9200 to 9600 blocks of East Point 22 Boulevard. Item 8E, Acton Subdivision Plat, Eastmark Development Unit DU3-4, Parcel 4, the 9800 to 10,000 blocks of East Ray Road, located east of the northeast corner of Ellsworth and Ray Roads. And Item 11A, Introduction of Ordinance regarding ZON 17-00320, the 5800 through 5900 blocks of East Thomas Road, and the 3400 through 3500 blocks of North Wrecker Road. This is located at the southwest corner of Wrecker and Thomas. Rezone and site plan review to allow for development of a single residence subdivision. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you very much, Mr. Christopher. Ms. Mickelson, have there been any requests to speak on items on the consent agenda? You have handed me several cards. One of them is for item 6F, which is on the consent agenda, having to do with the drainage easement. So that item will be off of the consent agenda, and we will hear from this gentleman. Other than that, we don't have any requests to speak on a consent agenda item. Okay, thank you. There's been a motion made by Mr. Thompson, seconded by Mr. Glover, for approval of the consent agenda. Please cast your vote. Mr. Heredia, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you. The vote is unanimous in favor of adopting the consent agenda. That being the case, the first item that we will take up off of the consent agenda is the one that I mentioned just a moment ago that was removed from the consent agenda. That would be item 6F. I'll read it so we all know what we're talking about. Item 6F is to extinguish a drainage easement located at 2836 South Signal Butte Road. Mr. Michael Min has requested the opportunity to speak. Mr. Min, please come forward. Mr. Min, we have 3 minutes to hear from you this afternoon.
Thank you, Mayor Giles and committee. My name is Michael Mayan. I live at 2827 South Olivewood, Mesa, Arizona, part of District 6. The new traditional school went in quite quickly in our neighborhood, and when I saw this particular item, I felt compelled to speak about not granting it at this time, because I'm not clear as to what that means relative to a collection basin or how they're going to move the water away from that school. Earlier in February, we had a informational meeting about the development next to the school, which includes a storage facility, a quick quack car wash, and three potential commercial businesses there. So before I would consent to actually extinguishing that, I would want to make sure that that whole development by this owner, the school and these other parcels, is communicated together, and I can't find any evidence of where that would be at to make sure that we don't have any localized flooding at that corner when monsoon goes through and whatnot. Thank you for the consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Mayan. I apologize for mispronouncing your name. Mr. Ellsworth, you're on the hot seat today, it looks like. Can you tell us what amount of community engagement maybe has occurred or not, so that Mr. Mayan, somehow Mr. Mayan was not, feels like he doesn't know as much about this project as he would like to as a neighbor?
Well, the extinguishing of the drainage easement, I believe, is through the real estate division.
Okay.
I don't have any information on that.
Great. Is there someone from real estate that can help us know? Okay. Beth, our city engineer. Beth, can you give us a little background on this, please?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. This is a pretty standard development requirement. Some of these parcels are dedicated with drainage easements prior to the time they develop, and then development may choose to change or somebody changes something on the parcel. They are required to, when they When we vacate the easement, they are required to dedicate and provide additional retention and storage and requirements to our engineering standards and details, which are the a certain level storm and a certain level hour intensity. So they can't, they are required to meet our engineering standards in terms of all retention and runoff on this site before we do vacate these easements.
Okay. Mr. Mayan, having heard that explanation, does that allay your fears?
No, not at all, because these developments are occurring at different times. I can certainly meet with engineering
to go over
what they're doing and come back with a more favorable report after I discuss that.
Okay. I guess the question is whether or not we want to continue this agenda item to allow that discussion to take place or move forward. Is there some urgency associated
continue.
With this?
Mayor, and we have another. We have a council meeting a week from tonight, so we could just move it to that evening. But that didn't give time for opportunity to visit with the residents.
All right.
Council Thompson, are you okay with that?
Council, does that meet with everyone's approval? We continue this for a week? Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayan. Please consult with Beth and figure out a time that you can get your questions answered, okay?
Thank you.
So agenda item 6F will be continued until next week's meeting. The next item on our agenda is agenda item 9A, and that's to conduct a public hearing for the release of the petition for signatures for annexation, case number ANX-17-00253. This property is located south of Williams Field Road and west of Signal Butte Road and is approximately 27 acres. I hereby declare the public hearing open. Ms. Mickelson, does anyone from the public want to speak on this item? Okay, thank you. Like we do have a few more requests, but this is to speak on different items, correct? Okay, items from citizens. All right, do any council members wish to address this item? Hearing none, I declare the public hearing closed. There is no action on this item at this time. This annexation case will come back before council at a future council meeting to vote on the annexation of this property. The next item on our agenda are items 10A and 10B. These items were taken off consent to avoid any potential conflict with Councilmember Thompson, who will not vote on these items. Item 10A is the Terravera subdivision plat for single residential lots located in the 85 to 8800 blocks of Guadalupe on the north side. And item 10B is the Terravera south subdivision plat for a single residence lot located on the 8500 block of Guadalupe Road. We'll vote on both of these items at once. Is there a motion to approve? Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Seconded by Mr. Luna. Please cast your vote. Mr. Heredia, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you. The vote is unanimous with Mr. Thompson abstaining. Next item on our agenda is agenda item 11A. This is the introduction of zoning ordinance 17-00320 for property located at the southwest corner of Recker and Thomas Roads.
Oh,
I'm sorry. That was on the consent agenda. We moved that in our meeting right before. Next item is agenda item 12. This is to take action on a resolution relating to an intergovernmental agreement between the city and the Arizona Board of Regents for Arizona State University for the development of facilities in downtown Mesa. We do have several requests to speak on this item. And thank you, Ms. Mickelson. You have numbered these in the order in which they were handed to you. Is that correct? Okay. So we'll just continue. We'll just take them in that order. We have allocated 3 minutes for each person that wishes to speak. Don't feel obligated to take the entire 3 minutes, particularly if you're I'm looking right now. It looks like we might have 24 cards. So if you're number 24 and you feel like somebody's covered your items, feel free to just let us know that, okay? First person up is Nate Gafford.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. My name is Nate Gafford. I'm the president of the Mesa Police Association. My office is located at 456 North Vineyard in Mesa. I am here before you on behalf of the men and women of the Mesa Police Department. The Mesa Police Association has always supported what we believed was best for the city of Mesa and its residents. We have supported and carried out decisions that put our officers and the citizens we protect in danger because of budget and personnel reductions. These cuts were done in what we are led to believe was a necessity for the financial survival of the city. Mr. Brady, to correct your misstated information from the February 15 study session where you stated, every year the city, even during the worst times of the recession, has been adding officers. Here are the sworn officer numbers beginning with the start of the recession. In 2008, we had 857 sworn officers with 463,000 residents. In 2009, that was reduced to 834. In 2010, that was again reduced to 777. We maintained that number for 2 years. In 2012, five officers were added, totaling 782 for the next 2 years, but another reduction in 2015 to 759. In 2016, 13 officers were added, totaling 772, but in 2017, 21 were eliminated, leaving 751 sworn officers to keep a population of almost 500,000 people safe. That is 106 less police officers from where we were in 2008. As years have passed since the start of, and the recovery of the recession, all city departments made cuts, and the citizens of Mesa felt the result of increased public safety response times and decreased service. Budgets were cut, personnel were reduced, and merits were suspended as well as not fully paid. The rank-and-file frontline officers and hardworking hourly employees throughout the city did more with less while city management built up banks of millions upon millions of dollars, all the while leading their own employees and the community to believe there was no money. I stood before you in June of last year begging for an increase in funding to the public police department. Since then, almost 40 sworn officers have left the police department unexpectedly before they were scheduled to retire. Mr. Brady, you stated you wish you could do more during this year's very challenging budget. Mr. Mayor, you stated public safety was a top priority, but times are tough, echoing the difficult budget. Yet here we are again, another record year of construction, utilities, and tax revenue, nearly $75 million saved up to be spent on the billion-dollar ASU college, but no money for one of the core responsibilities of city government, which is public safety. In the early hours of February 15th, Mesa officers were ambushed with gunfire while making contact with a suspect believed to be violating an order of protection. Bullet holes tore into a marked police cruiser with several officers behind it trying to avoid being struck. They did not run away. They stood that line between the individual trying to murder them and the community they swore to protect. These officers are people I work with, people I care about. Any one of them were inches away from making national news as a fallen officer. The Mesa Police Association asks for your support. Help us keep Mesa safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Nate. The next card is from Stephen Hestler.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Steve Hestler, 1436 West Vroom. The IAG seems to answer the question of how an ASU campus will be funded by through the issuance of bonds. This will eventually have to be paid by increased taxes, increased fees or utilities, or reduced services. A bond only changes the timing of this. Any discussion of economic benefits must answer these questions. Incremental revenues to the cities, less incremental costs associated with those revenues, effects of cannibalization when increases are taken from other parts of the city or existing businesses, and the discounted net cash flows of these increments. If you don't understand this, you can't understand whether it's helping or hurting the city. An educated guess is still a guess and needs to be explained as a guess. By state law, some utility bonds can be challenged if rates are not found to be just and reasonable. While this may be hard to define, the fact that rates are used to fund non-utility functions could jeopardize these bonds even if the city charter allows the transfer. To me, an investor is someone who puts his own money at risk or has skin in the game, while a visionary is someone who transfers this risk to others. I've heard a lot about investing in the city, but haven't seen these questions answered in conjunction with these investments. I haven't even heard a stab at ROI. Even if some of these projects did pay out in the past, has our margin error been eroded since our debt levels are higher than when some of these other projects were begun? Whether the council proceeds with this project, let future generations pay for it, depends on whether they see themselves as investors, visionaries, or custodians. Does the council suffer from an edifice complex in which great cities are measured by great buildings, or will they be satisfied with the thankless and unglamorous task of fiscal responsibility? If council's grasp of the risk is not sufficient that they can explain this to their constituents, they need to put the horse before the cart and address that risk before proceeding. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hestler. Next is Senator Bob Worsley. Welcome, Senator Worsley.
Senator Bob Worsley. I live at 3514 East Presidio Circle with my wife. I represent most of the city down at the Capitol. Every 50 years or so, a city council has a transformative moment. Our downtown is ready for that next moment. My wife and I have been meeting with people from all over the valley. Just today, my wife had two people from North Scottsdale saying they want to invest in downtown Mesa because they've heard so much about what's happening. Last week, we met with wealthy people in Paradise Valley want to invest in downtown Mesa based on what they hear is starting to happen. We, speaking of investing dollars, hard dollars, we have invested, the group that I'm associated with, over $20 million already on a bet that downtown Mesa is ready for what's next. We bought several buildings, a lot of land, the parking structure John Graham's group has purchased. We are putting money where our mouth is. We are ready for what's happening in downtown. People can see the Pioneer Park investment that you've made. They can see the LDS Church making the investment in the area around the temple. People can see that we're forming an innovation district. We submitted on the 4th of January to be one of the areas where the FAA will allow us to test drone activity for drone deliveries. We've talked to hundreds of companies that are interested in what we're going to do in this innovation district. Last week, we submitted for downtown Mesa to be part of the opportunity zones in the latest bill that was passed in Washington, which means that investors can bring their capital gains that they've been deferring in 1031 property exchanges, they can bring it to downtown Mesa, and if they leave it for 10 years, their capital gains are expunged forever. This is an opportunity. It's on the list. The Arizona Commerce Authority is considering putting this into the governor's recommendations to President Trump. And I just wanted to say one thing in closing here. We need this ASU center in downtown Mesa. I can't tell you how much all of the investors are excited about this. They've seen what's happened in Roosevelt Row, what's happening on First Fridays. They can see what's happening in downtown Phoenix as a result of this, the vibrancy of downtown Tempe. This is critical to launch the downtown Mesa effort and renovation. And I just wanted to ask, if you don't mind, there's a lot of young people that will make this happen. And we have Jenny Comenda, people like Jenny Comenda. Could you please stand, Jenny? And a lot of people. We have Clint Smith. We have Hardison's here. We have a great group of young people, our next generation, that are enthusiastic. They've lived in New York. They've lived in other places around the country. They've come home to Mesa, and they're ready to give downtown Mesa a facelift. And I highly recommend that this council vote for this tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Worsley. Thank you for your service at the legislature. Next is Tony Wall.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, and it's a nice opportunity to speak with you again. We are quite concerned about downtown and the continued evolution. As you know, we have a big stake in the investment that we have made in the grid project, which you approved just a few weeks ago. That tied with our partnership and collaboration with Benedictine and the Cahoots group that will be joining our project is very meaningful. And we think that as we look forward to bringing those aspects to downtown, another piece and an additional piece in the educational realm certainly makes sense. The opportunity for education and economic development to tie together is something that you knew long ago and took a step towards. And I think what you're considering tonight is another step in that direction of bringing education and strong statements about education to the downtown. The work that's been done in the Innovation District planning is another step. And if you're familiar with the book, the Innovative University, the pieces defined in that book for innovation in city and economic development are falling into place very systematically in the work that's being done here. I know there are many questions. I think there's opportunity to define those questions as we go forward in the next few weeks and months to finalize this agreement. But what's important here are two things. One, the momentum that's been created in downtown is dramatic. It's been a powerful movement, and you've heard about that this evening already. The second thing is to make this proposal additive to what's happening in downtown. And I think there's that opportunity. There's that opportunity to define the details, and I would encourage you to move forward tonight with approval of the concept and take this next step to define those details.
Thank you, Mr. Wong. Jen Duff.
Good evening. I'm Jen Duff, 146 West 2nd Street. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of entering the IGA with ASU. I understand the concerns about utilities and public safety, but our residents need more. We need opportunities. We need higher education. We need better quality jobs. I believe the economic benefits of ASU will offset the investment and provide needed revenues for public safety and much more. I don't believe it's a conversation of either or, ASU or public safety. I believe both can be achieved, and ASU's stimulus in our downtown can benefit funding public safety and all the things that we need. The economy cycles, and now is the time to latch on to opportunities that will transform our city and our downtown. Sitting and waiting hasn't proved to be successful at all. And overall hope, which is what we've been waiting for in a long time, isn't a good strategy. I believe that entering into this agreement with ASU will prosper our city and downtown, and I encourage you to vote yes to move Mesa forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Courtney Gwynn.
Hi, my name's Courtney Gwynn, 533 North Date. I enjoyed the words spoken by Senator Worsley. He's done great things for our state and our city. Unfortunately, living in West Mesa, my income doesn't afford me the opportunity to be in his circles, but I think his approach is correct. We need investors to support ASU, not Mesa's public funding. At the beginning of this meeting, I appreciated the opening prayer. In that prayer, a member of the community prayed for the safety of our public safety officers, of our police. Unfortunately, over the years, the City of Mesa Police has had to resort to rely on prayers in lieu of funding. They haven't been receiving the funding they've needed. In 2016, question one was asked of Mesa voters to provide a tax hike for public safety and ASU. I, like many of the voters who voted against that, didn't like how much money was going to ASU, one of the richest universities in our state. At the end of the study session, I had the opportunity of speaking with one of the representatives from ASU who said he had no interest in coming here unless he was given a free building. Guess what? I would do anything for a $50 million building as well, or whatever it comes out to. We're not looking at any additional universities to see if any of them might be willing to pay for the building. Instead, we're using our funds to solicit only ASU and not allow anyone else in on that. I think today Mesa City Council will again prove whether ASU is more important than public safety. Unfortunately, it seems like they're leaning that way. Over the years, West Mesa, or Mesa in general, has increased our debt, continues to look for ways to give away our land as well, give away our land below market value or leasing it for a dollar, and increasing our overall debt. As a citizen living in West Mesa, I would rather have money spent on public safety to help with the increased foot traffic and crime brought into our neighborhoods as a result of light rail. Our public safety has a tough job, a dangerous job. They deserve our respect. They also deserve our funds, especially more than ASU. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gwynn. Tim Sprague.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Tim Sprague, 5726 North 2nd Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. Why is a guy from Phoenix up here talking to the Mesa City Council? In 2003, our firm responded to an RFP from the City of Phoenix to develop some property downtown Phoenix next to where the light rail was scheduled to go. My partner and I developed some property in Portland, Oregon years before, and we saw the effect of light rail in Portland. It was transformative. It was amazing. When we looked at downtown Phoenix, we said light rail is a nice component. It's something we really ought to look at. At that time, ASU wasn't even talked about, but we thought light rail was something that needed to happen, and we really appreciated the foresight that city fathers in Phoenix had. Well, this council has had foresight in two ways to put two great big rocks into the jar that city of Phoenix never did. You invested $100 million in an arts center that's added a really, really neat dimension to what's going on in downtown Mesa. Light rail is now here. There's one last big rock that needs to be put in the jar. Our firm has focused upon Mesa for the next 5 to 10 years. We've made investments here, and we look to be here. To complete my career, will be here. The last big rock to go in the jar is education. What we saw happen in downtown Phoenix was transformative. We're at a tipping point here in Mesa, and you have the ability to make the difference. I think that having ASU here, especially with the component that they offer, which is the digital side of their film business, as we all know as we look into the future, will be a major, major component that happens to everything in our lives. It would be really, really cool to have Mesa be a center of that. I ask that you look at the IGA positively. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sprague. Craig Lohman.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. Appreciate the time. My name is Craig Lohman. I'm a business owner in Mesa. I'm going to speak on behalf of two different perspectives, one personal and one business. From the personal side, my wife and I are both Arizona State University graduates and have enjoyed what that opportunity has given us. My oldest daughter is also currently a ASU student at downtown Phoenix campus, and she'll be graduating this May. I've seen the growth, as just was spoken about, of the downtown campus from not very much in 4 years ago to today, with a lot of activity happening on a day-to-day basis. From a business perspective, I'm a partner with Lohman Company PLLC. We are a CPA firm in Mesa. We've been in business for 18 years this year. I've also been actively involved with the Mesa Chamber of Commerce as last year's past chair. And in both those roles, I work with many different businesses around the valley and inside of Mesa. And what I've seen over time is that anytime you get activity that happens with people moving, whether it's education, whether it's residential, you're going to get business that comes along with that, and it's going to grow the economic activity with that. I see what's on the agenda for looking at approving the IGA with Arizona State University, and I can see that same thing happening in downtown Mesa. I therefore support the approval of that agenda for those reasons. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Lohman. Paula Norby.
Good evening, Mayor Giles, members of the City Council. I'm Paula Norby. I'm the Campus Executive Officer and Dean for Benedictine University in Mesa. As you know, we have proudly been located in downtown Mesa for the past 6 years. We were invited to the city to locate here as part of the Higher Education Initiative. We are one of 5 universities that located in downtown Mesa, but we are the only university that has thrived, reaching 500 students and continuing to grow. We are halfway to our goal of 1,000 students. Our students work, play, study, and live in downtown Mesa. All of our students have memberships to the local YMCA. 50 students live in our historic, newly renovated Alhambra Hotel. They eat at local restaurants. They work at community events through part of their junior chamber events, and work at local nonprofits like the United Way. Benedictine University has invested nearly $15 million over the past 6 years to remain in downtown Mesa. In addition to building rental, operational expenses, we also rent sports facilities from the Mesa City Parks and Recreation, Mesa Community College, Chandler Gilbert Community College, and privately owned sports facilities.
We spend nearly $150,000 annually renting sports facilities. We are continuing to pay back the city's investment, initial investment, but we're committed to maintaining affordable education to the residents of Mesa. We have scholarships for Mesa residents, we have tuition discounts for city employees, and we have frozen our tuition for the next year. Benedictine University supports the growth of higher education in Mesa. But if, in fact, ASU is afforded a discounted lease, we humbly request renegotiating our lease for parity with what ASU might enjoy with the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Norby, and thank you for all the venue does. We appreciate you very much. Jenny Comenda. Jenny, oh, I'm sorry, did not request to speak. That's fine, thanks. Thanks for saving us 3 minutes, Jenny. Kelly Smith. Jenny did indicate she supports the project, though. Thank you.
Mayor and Council, thank you for having me today. I just want to speak up in support of this. I am a Mesa native. I grew up here. I left town for college like many people my age did. I spent 15 years away, visited places like Boston and Salt Lake City and San Francisco area. And as part of that time away, I got to see what thriving urban centers look like. And I came back to Mesa for the same reasons that I loved it so much when I lived here, which is this is a safe place to live and it's an affordable place to live. And I really appreciate that. That continues to be true. But as Senator Worsley had mentioned, I was looking for something more at this point in my life. And like a lot of people around here in this community, I wanted to dig in, try to create something that that's bigger and that will last and that, you know, my children will be proud to say, I live in Mesa. I don't think I'm the only one that's experienced the conversations when I was moving back. I had friends say, well, give up on Mesa, you should move to Gilbert. Come live down here. We've got great restaurants. We've got great housing. We've got all this stuff. Or my tech friends saying, come along the 101 corridor. We've got everything's in Chandler. Everything's in Tempe. And I said, why does that have to be true? Why can't we have that here in Mesa, which, you know, is a great town. And I see this as a, you know, I'm a numbers guy, a 2 degrees in physics and a lot of math in my life. I see this as I could write a mathematical equation either way on this one. So it's, we're not going to solve it with math. This is fire starting. And I think as we've heard, we've got the kindling laid out. We've got all the pieces in place. I see this as an opportunity not to give money to any institution in particular, but to invest and put that down and say, let's start a fire here in our downtown and let's make that go. And I see this as something that will take off. So thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Angel Levine.
Hello. My name is Angel Levine. I'm at 7245 East Navarro. I'm in District Number 6. I am not as good of a speaker as majority of these people have been, but I'd like to say I ditto the gentleman here in the plaid shirt. I'm just going to kind of pinpoint some of the things that I've kind of pulled out over some of the discussions you guys have been having over the last period of time here. And I want to start off with saying I had come across an article dated November 8th, 2016. It's from AZ Central. And it actually is a quote from you, Mr. Mayor. And it says, it's regarding the vote that we all took into consideration with the public safety and ASU all on the same ballot there. And it says, if it fails, I respect the voters' decision. And I think it reflects the economic concerns and the uncertain times that we live in, end quote. I have no problem with ASU wanting to come to downtown Mesa. Anyone would, especially if they're getting the funds to take care of that building. My question then is, though, is what is ASU's risk? When I listened to your prep for this meeting last week, we're offering the bond, and then we're giving them a long-term lease. And one of the questions that the attorney addressed was the default. Well, if they decide to move on, that creates a lawsuit, which creates more money issues. Councilman Whitaker also stated that we're basically looking at $100,000 per student that is looking to come to ASU downtown. And Everyone is paying attention. Boeing's paying attention. Benedictine is paying attention. What you guys do on this is going to reflect what our next deals are going to be. So we voted on it 2 years ago. Why not put it to a vote this August? It's 6 months later, and you can put it before the voters. There's nothing being backdoored. There's nothing being opened up to the side or anything. It allows everyone. So if you decide to move forward, then why not show a proposal that supports our public safety first, then ASU? Why not give both? So if public safety doesn't have to be second, and we have to realize that we're living in a constantly changing world, and our safety is not something to be gambled with. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Angel. Patrick Key.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. In November 2016, voters in the city of Mesa were given the opportunity to approve question one, which would have increased the city's transaction privilege tax from 1.75% to 2.15% to pay for public safety needs and for a proposed Arizona State University campus here in downtown Mesa. I voted no on question one. My reason then was that although I wholeheartedly support a well-staffed and maintained public safety system for our city, I could not in good conscience support spending the estimated $108 to $127 million of taxpayer money that was indicated in the information supplied by the city on an ASU campus. Question one was defeated by the voters of Mesa. Now there's a proposal in front of the council to spend approximately $75 million towards phase one of a downtown campus for ASU. And as a citizen of Mesa, I feel it's my duty to tell you why I do not support this proposal either. There are several college options for students in the Mesa area, including Mesa Community College's two campuses and Benedictine University, which has a downtown Mesa campus. I'm sure Benedictine would not appreciate Mesa providing such a significant amount of funding, as we've heard already, to bring more competition into an already highly competitive market for students. Furthermore, a better use of this money would be to expedite needs that the city is currently experiencing, a library branch in Southeast Mesa, for example, so residents don't have to drive to the Greenfield branch of the Maricopa County system, or a fire station down in Eastmark, or hiring more police officers. These would serve needs for our residents where there is little public safety coverage. Southeast Mesa is attracting more businesses to build there, and in order to keep doing so, Mesa must provide the community infrastructure to support those businesses and the residential growth that we will hopefully continue to experience there. Arizona State University already has a satellite campus in Mesa near Williams Gateway Airport. I do not see a need to spend taxpayer monies to attract an Arizona State University satellite campus to downtown Mesa. And I think many residents of Mesa will agree with me. It does not benefit the revitalization efforts for the downtown area. It does not meet the current needs of the city. And it does not help our existing education partners already located in the area. I brought my 10-year-old son with me tonight to see the city government in action. And I'd love for him to be able to attend college close to home after he graduates. But I'd also like him to know that his city council did the right thing tonight and voted against spending millions of unnecessary dollars to lure Arizona State University to downtown Mesa at the expense of providing for the city's need for growth-oriented public safety and library systems. I urge you to vote no on authorizing the city manager to use city funds or resources to bring an Arizona State University satellite campus to downtown Mesa. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Key. Mike Hutchinson.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Mike Hutchinson. I'm here as a private resident, live at 4042 East Hope Street in East Mesa. I'm here to ask you to approve this agreement tonight. You know, I've spent a lot of time in downtown Mesa, spent a lot of time in this building in discussions just like this over the last many years, and was always proud to work for the city and work for the City Council, who took bold steps to make Mesa a great place that it is today. We've had a long history in this community of partnering with education. We led the way with partnering with the K-12 systems in this state, with our Mesa Public Schools and pools and parks and other areas. When Mesa Community College wanted to build a facility out at the Red Mountain campus, we helped with that facility because we thought it was important for that part of town. When everybody in this region was trying to get a branch campus of ASU in the east, the first one on the east side, we stepped up with a polytechnic campus. We invested as a city lots of money to try to make that a reality. I think it's paying huge dividends. But it takes money. You've got to invest in those type activities. And if there's lots of things you can invest in. And there's always a balance. There's some public safety issues. My understanding that council's looking at that, trying to address that next fall, maybe with a ballot issue, which in this community we've always tried to stay ahead of public safety and done a good job. It's a big city with complex problems. My point is, this is an opportunity in downtown, and I lived downtown for a long time. And I remember when I first started, people would say, well, how come we're not like downtown Tempe, Middle Ave? That's doing great over there. And I'd say, because they have this campus next to them with a lot of students and faculty. I mean, this was in the 80s. So here we have this opportunity with this great partner. And, you know, this council and other councils have taken risks. They've been criticized. We're criticized for light rail. We've been criticized by some from stadiums. The Mesa Arts Center was criticized. Us investing in Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport. The thing I'm proud about this community is we've been able to balance these important projects that set the tone for the community with the other needs. And I'm confident you can continue to do that. Your staff, I think, takes a conservative approach to agreements. I think they've done that with this. Are there issues that you're still going to work through in every complex agreement there is? But I think they've done a good job. You've got a hard job. I tell people, love your mayor and city council, because it's really hard work. It's really hard. You got to make hard calls. I also tell them to love their city management team. But you've got the responsibility to reinvest in downtown. And I would tell new council, the hardest and most expensive decisions you're going to make as city council people is in downtown. So you have an opportunity with a great partner, with a great agreement, with a proven track record to help make a real impact in the downtown. So I encourage you to do that. Don't let this pass by. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I gave you a few extra seconds because of that to tell people to love your council. Thank you. Thank you. Clint Hardison.
Hi, my name is Clint Hardison. I live at 747 North McDonald. I've been working in commercial real estate for 12 years now, but I don't own any commercial real estate in downtown Mesa. And so I feel that I have a unique perspective on the impact that an ASU campus would have in downtown Mesa. When I speak about the impact that this campus would potentially have, I don't speak out of any potential to benefit a project that I have, only out of a love for Mesa. I'd like to draw everyone's attention to downtown Phoenix, to Roosevelt Row. I'm not sure the last time that you drove on Roosevelt between 7th Avenue and 7th Street. But you'll notice if you drive down there that it is a vibrant district, that there are new multi-million dollars, tens of millions of dollar projects going up regularly. Multifamily development, high quality multifamily development, retail developments, office developments. They're creating a vibrant urban core that is what the people of Phoenix want. Every single argument that I've heard against ASU in downtown Mesa could have been applied to ASU in downtown Phoenix 10 years ago. If the council in Phoenix or the citizens of Phoenix had found those points compelling in 2002, 2003, 2004, whenever it was that they brought ASU to downtown Phoenix, you would have a downtown Phoenix today that was still filled with vacant lots and vagrants rather than projects that were $20, $30, $40, $50, and $100 million. Having the experience that I do in commercial real estate, I've seen enough instances to know that this type of economic development is not a handout to an ASU. We're not giving something to ASU. Candidly, Mesa would be using ASU to spur downstream projects that will have huge ramifications, not just for downtown Mesa. It would give us a vibrant urban core that would give our whole city an identity, and that over the course of generations would allow us to be competitive with the surrounding communities, Chandler, Gilbert, Tempe, Scottsdale, Phoenix, all of which have vibrant urban cores. I echo the statements of Kelly Smith earlier. I'm from Mesa. I love Mesa. It has hurt me to see my friends who have grown up here move away to other communities that they see as being more fitting for their lifestyle. That does not need to be the case. I know that we are at a tipping point in downtown Mesa. I know that we have an opportunity to create a town that we can all be proud of, that provides our citizens the services that they need, and allows us to have the amenities and lifestyle that so many people here want. I truly believe that this is the investment that we need to make to create the vibrant, not just downtown, but city that we want for generations. And I urge the council to please vote in favor of the IGA with the ASU. Thank you.
Thank you, Clint. I have a card from Mr. Bill Wall, who's indicated that he supports the project, but has said it's not necessary for him to speak. Next is Deanna Villanueva Saucedo.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council members. Thank you for your time. My name is Deanna Villanueva Saucedo. I live at 1513 South Case Circle, Mesa. I'm speaking to you tonight not on behalf of any other group, but rather as a lifelong resident of Mesa, a native with nearly 30 years of working in our community with diverse populations, including high school and college students. Additionally, I come primarily with some reminders. I've been here before reminding you about some of the facts that I will relay to you tonight. I'm here, however, also to congratulate you on your vision. I can recall many city council members before, back when I was a city employee, and even before that time, and still remember those that were brave enough to make difficult decisions. Decisions that made an investment in our community, the people of Mesa, and decisions that are certainly paying dividends today. So congratulations on placing the IGA with ABOR and ASU on the agenda, and I wholeheartedly support it. I love our community. I've spent many years working alongside Mesa families, but as I have previously shared with you, we have our challenges. Mesa lags our region, state, and nation in post-secondary educational attainment. We are behind. We lag in median income compared to cities in our region. We are behind. As a community, we will not be competitive in landing those companies that provide high-paying jobs and contribute to a sustainable, long-term economic future if we don't have a more educated workforce. As I've said before, education is absolutely an economic development issue, and one that as a council you can take action on, something certainly within your purview, creating public-private, public-public partnerships that contribute to the overall economic health of our community. That's what makes Mesa a vibrant place. And in this case, with a partner that has a proven track record in this area, creating new businesses, economic development, not something imported from out of state or from out of our region. Truth be told, economic development is great, but in some ways tangential. The icing on the cake for me is more personal. The real value is in helping families in our community out of poverty. This type of development increases the educational possibilities for families and students in need. We have many, many students and families living below the poverty line, and again, I have been here before with you sharing those struggles of the most vulnerable in our communities, those struggling to make ends meet and just get by. Education is absolutely the key to getting out of poverty and breaking whatever cycles are keeping folks from getting ahead. As an educator and community activist with multiple decades working alongside our Mesa families, I have seen the tremendous sacrifices that parents and families make to invest in their child's education and their children's future. I've seen the enormous sacrifices our young people make to invest in their own education, working multiple jobs, balancing school, home, and work commitments, all to try and get ahead for their sake and their family. I want to be proud that our city is willing to make that same investment. When I work with students, I'm often encouraging them to think of the long-term gains of being educated. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It requires hard work and big events investments, but one that pays off in the long run. I encourage you to approve this IGA by also thinking about the long-term gains this investment can have for our city's economic health, our community's long-term sustainability, but more personally, what this means for me and so many of our Mesa families that are working hard to get out of poverty and towards self-sufficiency, it's just another option. Mesa certainly deserves the type of a development that we've seen pay off elsewhere. So again, I encourage you to approve it, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Deanna. Mara Benson.
Hello, Mayor, council members, I'm Mara Benson at 3035 South Wild Rose in Mesa. So I'm in sick. So good evening. I'm a Mesa resident. I'm also co-owner of Bliss Realty, and I've been a realtor for 16 years. I am a mother of two children, and as a realtor, I support the idea of affordable, accessible educational opportunities through both the private and public means for our residents. Opportunities, I continue to support the mayor, council, and the professional staff because you have worked hard to keep our city fiscally responsible and responsive to its citizens. The city of Mesa continues to build partnerships with educational opportunities as well as athletic programs for our youth. For example, projects like the Winter Wonderland Ice Rink have proven to be a great source for the local community and for families like mine who support hockey and competitive figure skating. This also has been a great way to evoking family involvement and bringing visitors to Mesa. 2 years ago, I came before you and spoke in support of ASU coming to downtown Mesa. And I stand firm in this stance that an educated and informed citizen will provide a more wholesome understanding of the challenges facing the city of Mesa today and in the days to come. As an experienced realtor, I feel ASU can play an effective role improving Mesa's economy, property values, and will lead to job creation and additional benefits for the local businesses in downtown Mesa. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. Mesa is not only a place I call home, it's an investment in my family and in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mara. I also have cards from Amy and Steve Hardison, who both indicate that they're in support of the ASU proposal, but indicate it's not necessary for them to speak. Is that right? Okay, thank you. Stephen Viramontes.
Mr. Mayor, council members, many of you have had the privilege of being an acquaintance of mine for many years. I've never spoken before this body before because I've never felt the necessity to because of my understanding of the issues. However, that comes to a tipping point for me today. I am coming as a resident and taxpayer of the city of Mesa for the past 12 years. I currently live at 930 East Norwood Street in Old Lehigh, a member, a neighbor of Councilman Freeman. Many of the individuals here today have representatives representing them today from lobbyist groups, other special interest groups. I will, as being a former lobbyist myself, I will wear that hat on behalf of the small business owners and the taxpayers of this city. But in this situation, I'm in spring training, so I'm wearing a Cubs hat. A couple of issues. For those that don't know, I will go through a brief background to provide some context on my education experience in this regard. I am an ASU Sun Devil. I've also been educated at Harvard, at Kennedy School on Innovation and Government specifically, and also at MIT Sloan for Entrepreneurship, Innovation, and Commercialization. I'm also an executive board member at the Arizona Technology Council. I represent 48 startups, the largest nonprofit in the state that focuses on startups, technology, innovation across the state. I run an event called Phoenix Startup Week that does all things entrepreneurships and innovation in the state. And I can tell you wholeheartedly, there is nothing innovative about this ASU deal or what's bringing to the table from ASU. It's a film school. If this was an innovation district, there would be something more innovative about it. There wouldn't be a biased white paper published and paid for by the city of Mesa, done by the Brookings Institute. There would have been another white paper or several others published, specifically giving an opposing point of view. Most importantly, and lastly, and I'll leave this for everyone's thought, this council and the members and citizens of this body, the taxpayers said no. They said no 2 years ago. And you're circumventing by going behind their backs and voting on this issue without them voting again. Those 82,000 Mesa voters that said no, they will remember. And if they don't remember, I will help them remember the next election cycle. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Stephen. Shawnee Huntington.
Thank you.
my wife.
Oh, okay. And Sean. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Shawnee, and next is Sean. Thank you. You didn't change your name, right? It was all okay, good.
It's easy to confuse.
Great. Sean Huntington.
That is me, Sean Thank Huntington. You. I live at 617 East 1st Avenue in downtown Mesa. I own three businesses here in Mesa. My parents have owned Sweet Cakes for 15 years. We have been downtown on Main Street that entire time. We've survived the construction phase of the light rail, and I'm here tonight to first and foremost say that I believe in Mesa, not just downtown Mesa. I believe in the people that are making a transition in Mesa. I've seen the progress from 15 years ago to today. Individuals like Jenny Comenda choosing to locate her studio in downtown Mesa when she very well could be in Scottsdale, Phoenix, very high-end areas. Kelly Smith, who studied at MIT, could be in San Francisco right now building this business and probably having more support and more opportunities there, has chosen to locate his business here. CJ Eager and his firm, who recently located and purchased a building in downtown Mesa, as well as myself and my business partner, my brother-in-law, recently opening Mizona Market and choosing to locate our retail apparel business in Mesa because we truly believe in Mesa. I believe that this opportunity that we have to bring ASU to downtown will be a huge win for all residents in Mesa. With these businesses that I own, the largest challenge is finding talent. Every business today needs a lot of creative talent. I need video production. I need photographers. I need creatives that can help build my business, as well as other businesses in the area need these tools and these resources. And by locating an ASU campus in downtown where these businesses can connect and build relationships with these students, that's where I believe Mesa will have a huge reach that turning point that we've all been waiting for. I believe the thing that Mesa needs most isn't a building. It isn't even a campus. It's people coming together, people building relationships, people connecting through creative outlets, through events, through workshops, Cohoots coming down here, all these projects that are on the cusp. ASU only accelerates and ignites that fire further. And I hope that you will make certain that this proposal goes forward and that we can be a thriving city of creatives and business owners working together. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Next is Ben Berizzotto. Oh, I'm sorry. Do not wish to speak. I apologize. And he supports the project. Heather Scantleberry.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Heather Scantleberry. I live in the Evergreen Historic District right here in the downtown. I've been there for 20 years. I've actually grew up here in West Mesa. I've lived here 35 years, almost my entire life. I'm kind of jotting down notes as I'm listening to people. I wasn't planning on speaking tonight, but I just wanted to say a few things to you. I voted no on the question one that was brought to the voters a couple years ago. Even though that vote could have potentially increased my own household budget, which was struggling at the time and had been struggling for some time since the economic downturn, I made a very large investment, not $20 million, but relative to my household income, a very large investment in the historic downtown Mesa and saving a historic building that was going to be destroyed. I could have really used the extra money in my household budget as my husband was serving for the Mesa Police Department and had for 23 years or so at that time. However, we voted, our household voted no, based on the principle that it was wrong to use public safety as a hostage in order to get an economic development slush fund. And I stand by that tonight, that decision. I still think it's wrong. I have no problem with ASU or any college or any economic improvement in downtown or elsewhere in Mesa, but using taxpayer money, and it is taxpayer money. You know, I've heard the argument that it's you know, what sounds to me like a three-card Monty game, to tell you the truth. No matter any way you slice it, if the city is helping fund this, you know, bringing ASU here, it is taxpayer money. And just the way this has been done is wrong. And I voted against it, and my vote, regardless of how much money I have to invest in downtown, my vote is counted equally as everybody else's. The way this has been done is wrong. You all, I can't speak exactly for all of you, but I know the majority of you, when you run your campaigns, everybody's number one priority is public safety. My husband just retired from the Mesa Police Department because there aren't the resources available to them so that they can be successful. He decided he could not stay there and work in those conditions. And many of the officers that are there are in a position where they're stuck. They have 17, 18 years on. They've invested so much in those jobs and what they have in their retirement system and such. And they're in a position where their hands are tied. There's a no-win for them as if we don't support our public safety. But I just ask you to prove your commitment to public safety. Please increase funding to our public safety. You know, make the conditions better for them. Protect our citizens. Our crime rate is definitely been impacted. I've been a victim of or a witness to more crime in the last 5 years than in all the time I've lived here. And I know the police department has made some adjustments to the way they track things because trying to just, you know, keep things looking, you know, they're working as hard as they can, but it's just they can't be successful with what they've been given, and they deserve better than that. And so do all of the residents that live in Mesa. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Peter Costa.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. I actually live in on 1765 Fourth Place in Mesa. I've lived in the Arizona area for a long time, but always felt like Mesa was kind of had my heart. I grew up going to concerts at the Nile and walking up and down, not causing mischief, along Main Street. The one thing that I've always enjoyed is I come from the Midwest, from the Twin Cities, where there was a high emphasis on community and on the arts. And one thing that I always enjoyed about being in Mesa that was so different from everything else was its emphasis on community. There are wonderful communities that exist in this large geographic area that we live in, and one of those is in the downtown area. And so when you are part of this community, it really resonates with what you start doing. On the other note, I'm a graduate of ASU. I received my degree in physics as well as in music composition and theory. And I run a company, and we do interactive media, specifically in innovative technologies like virtual reality, augmented reality. And we're doing a project right now with the Idea Museum, two projects where we're actually creating a virtual reality room and an interactive sound dome. And so we are directly involved with this kind of technology. The moment I heard about an innovation district coming to Mesa, or just the fact that they were wanting to invest in this sort of in this kind of field, My wife and I, we were really excited because we come down on the weekends and we bring our family here. This is a place where we feel comfortable. My wife is from Buenos Aires, and that's part of your evening is walking on in the plazas and being able to be together with family and community. And there is that right now. This kind of development would actually attract young people, people like our family and other people's families that want to be able to find a place that they feel like they're connected with. The one thing that I'm really excited to see is just the lots of the people that are speaking here are all people who are excited about what's happening. And I think they represent this new generation of people that are wanting to find a place and wanting to be connected. And Arizona has been a hard place to find that community, and we feel like it's in Mesa. And I know that I would be one that would be trying to bring other individuals and companies and talent to this area, and that's why I agree and approve of this decision.
Thank you, Mr. Costa. I have two additional cards, one from Todd Skousen and one from Adam Gunderson, both indicating support for the item, but indicating it's not necessary for them to speak. Ms. Mickelson, are there any other requests to speak? Yes, Mr. Hardison.
Is it too late?
You filed a card earlier, so if you want to decide that you'd like to speak, sure.
But it's a little different than what's going on. This is the first time I've been to a council meeting, so I just wanted to acknowledge you for the work you do. People over here, people over there, and all of you. This has been amazing to walk in here. To hear a prayer, have the pledge of allegiance. I'm proud to be American, an Arizonan, and a Mason. Thank you for your work.
Thank you, Mr. Hardison. Any additional cards, Ms. Mickelson? Okay. We do have ASU present with us, and why don't you come and give us a brief pitch as to what we're talking about from the ASU perspective, if you don't mind. Thank you, Mr. Nehmeyer. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. I wasn't anticipating the opportunity to speak, but
sorry,
maybe to answer questions. It's okay. I'm very happy to be here. And thank you for inviting us back.
Mr. Nehmeyer, do you mind if I let me give you a topic to talk about?
Sure.
Since I sprung this on you. There was a comment made earlier that this is, quote-unquote, just the film school, and there's nothing innovative about that. Could you address exactly what the program is that you're bringing, that you propose to bring to Mesa?
Sure. And let me just say that the program that we're talking about is a program that we have essentially envisioned because of your invitation. So we have been working to try to find a way to continue to grow a film program that we have in Tempe right now, and our studios are in some small rental space. And, you know, our program's not going to grow in its current configuration, and it's undersized and, frankly, not very modern facilities. So when you talk to us about the opportunity to come here and to build us facilities in a similar way that Phoenix built facilities for the downtown Phoenix campus, we tried to think about what would be the best fit and what would be the best opportunity for us. And the opportunity to take our film program, combine game development, game theory, other alternative media, and beyond, all the new technologies that are around us, so augmented reality, virtual reality, motion capture, and all the technologies that have been mentioned, the opportunity to take that, bring the program here in brand new state-of-the-art facilities, and then grow those programs in a way that will make us competitive nationally and put us on the map nationally and internationally, to partner with businesses to develop and grow entrepreneurship and other new ideas in this facility. So that's number one. Number two, we want to not just focus on that within our Herberger College of Art and Design, but also to to take the other colleges at ASU and partner with them to develop new concentrations within their majors. So imagine you're a student in the School of Sustainability, which is on the Tempe campus for the most part, and you want to focus on how you can apply the technologies that would be available in this facility and in this creative environment to your degree. So the ability to be able to have a concentration in experience design or something like that, that basically is about how to take these incredible new technologies and apply them to the field of interest that you're in. And then finally, we want to create a new major that doesn't exist now at ASU, that's an interdisciplinary major focused on experience design, design futures, the opportunity. And I used the example the other day of the Olympics, and I think it's a good example. Pick anything. People experience the Olympics in lots of different ways. You watch it on TV. You might be an athlete. You might be there in person. You might be a trainer trying to train athletes. All of the different ways in which you can experience something is what experience design is all about. Taking technologies and trying to take an environment and design it for problem solving, for social impact, for improving people's lives. That's what we're focused on here. And it's a great opportunity. We wouldn't be here but for your invitation. I think the program would naturally grow at probably a slower pace in Tempe or maybe in downtown Phoenix where some of our arts programs have gravitated. But we're incredibly honored by your invitation to come and try and do something special here, much like we did in downtown Phoenix, and we really think this is going to be a great opportunity. And we also are really excited about the Entrepreneurship Center that's a part of this next door that really is your center, but we want to be helpful in helping that to stand up and be successful. And I think we heard from the Brookings folks that doesn't happen without a research university presence.
Thank you, Mr. Namark. Mr. Salmon, welcome.
I'd like to address it from a different perspective of somebody that's lived in Mesa for over 40 years. Back when I went to Mesa High School and you went to Westwood, we were big enemies. There was only two high schools in Mesa at that time. And we fought hard and played hard against each other. But things have changed. When you were a little boy, when I was a little boy, you came down to Mesa, this section of town, and it was vibrant. Had the Mesa Walk-In Theater and Pomeroy's and Le Sueur's and all the great things. Everything that was wonderful was happening in downtown Mesa. I have raised all of my kids here. All four of my children have graduated from Mesa Public Schools, and they've gone on to do really great things. I graduated from Mesa Public Schools, and then I graduated from Arizona State University. I think the perspective that I look at is maybe just a little bit different, because as I've seen the deterioration of the downtown, and nobody really having the foresight to, and the energy to bring it to the kind of energy and the kind of support that it rightly deserves. Tonight, to me, is a big first. It's a big first. And I think, when I went to Congress to represent the city of Mesa 5 years ago, I went to downtown Phoenix, where you wouldn't even walk at night because it was scary, it was horrible. And then what happened in the time that I was gone was ASU worked with the city of Phoenix to develop our downtown campus down there, and you saw that area literally transformed beyond belief. It's not like anything I ever believed it could be. That same thing can happen here in Mesa. And I, for one, as somebody that grew up here and raised my kids here, and served on the Mesa United Way Board and on the Child Crisis Center and on the Mesa Chamber of Commerce Board. I've done all of those things. I'm ready for Mesa to step up to the plate and to do what some of the other cities have done. This is a first, and I'm very excited about it. Yes, I do work for ASU, but I'm also a citizen of Mesa, and I got to tell you something. If I didn't work for ASU, I'd be here supporting this tonight, too, because this is good for Mesa. This is not just good for downtown Mesa. This is good for all of Mesa. And this is something you guys, when you have the foresight to pass this tonight, will be able to look at long from now when Mesa thrives and succeeds and the business is growing and we have a better educated electorate in this city, you'll be able to sit back and think on this night when you all made it start and happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. Anyone else wish to be heard on this before council starts talking? Okay, sir, have you filled out a card? please come forward. That's why I was inviting people to come forward.
Thank you.
So please give us your name.
Verl Farnsworth. I live at 3543 East San Gabriel, North San Gabriel Circle, District 5. I appreciate all that's been said, and I love this open debate. But what I have noticed here this evening is that those that have spoken in favor, there is an added tone to your thanks, Mayor Giles. Those that have spoken against it, you've been more silent. Now, does Mesa have an identity? What is that identity? Are we leaving it? Or have we decided we got to be like everybody else because there's some kind of identity that Mesa seeks that's never been? Why don't we have our own? You know, not everybody in Mesa wants to live like downtown Phoenix. We can be ourselves. Why don't we be that safe community of Mesa that all of us want to have? Here we got the light rail, and we ship everybody out of town to go find a job. Crime has increased. That's the downtown. What are we going to get when we bring more out-of-towners to downtown? We're going to get more of the same thing. I don't know why we think that the city of Mesa voters turned this down. And now you're bringing it in the back door, as has been expressed tonight, by an invitation to ASU to come here and do something that is purely speculative. To take a program in a small room somewhere, wherever they have it, that can't grow unless they get more space, and asking us to provide that space and the risk that comes with it. I'm asking you as a citizen of Mesa, I've been here for 22 years, to vote no tonight. Study the program. Let's get the facts. Let's get the budget. Let's get all that put together first before we decide to spend money that we actually don't have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I mean that sincerely. Any other requests to speak? Either from the applicant or from any member of the public. Yes, Mr. Whitaker.
I noticed the fire's here, and I haven't heard what your guys' opinion are on the topic. If you guys want to come and say something.
We did not pull a card for
him. Oh, thanks.
All right. Council, time for discussion. Mr. Thompson.
You know, and I remember when I was a little lonely airman in the Air Force. One of the things we used to always say was the best kind of beer is free beer. And I think about this in the same way. You know, to me, this is a lot like Captain Ahab chasing Moby Dick. And we all know how that ended. Mr. Hutchinson spoke about a lot of great projects in our downtown. You know, he talked a little bit about the Mesa Arts Center and some of the other things. But all of those were voter approved. The money that was spent on those were approved by the voters through bonds. You know, question one went out in 2016 and it did fail. It failed by 53% of the vote. Ms. Levine and Stephen Veramontes were correct. If this is something we truly want, it should go back out to the voters for their approval. $75 million or $60 million or $50 million is a lot of dollars to spend. You know, in 2016, our police department was looking at getting merit raises. The city told the officers, that they couldn't quite get there right now, but we'll make it up to you later. And here it is in 2018, and it still hasn't been made up. They haven't gotten their merit raises in 2 years. Mr. Key was correct in that if we had the if we had funding sitting here, why aren't we using it to reinvest in the public safety of our community? I desperately need a fire station in Eastmark. We're approaching a six-minute response time, and those are people's lives. I need a library in Southeast Mesa. I can't tell you how many times that I'm getting emails and calls and messages on Facebook from my constituents asking, when are we going to get a library in our district? And so, in my opinion, if we're going to spend $75 million, why don't we spend the $75 million where it's truly needed, and that's in our public safety and within our city to support the services that our citizens have come to expect from the city itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Other council member comments?
I have a question. The procurement process for this, I noticed Benedictine, are they still in the room? So I noticed Benedictine had also asked for a $75 million handout. Given that this won't raise sales tax, can we also give $75 million to Benedictine, or for some reason were they excluded from the procurement process?
Who are you directing that question to?
I guess anybody on staff that can answer the question.
Mayor, I don't understand the question. Can we be repeated?
I'm not sure I heard Benedictine.
I don't understand about the $75 million. I don't know what that means.
Can you restate the question?
Yeah, I thought Benedictine had asked for the same thing, that the same deal that ASU was getting. In the last study session, this project was quoted up to $75 million. I'm just curious.
No, Mayor, Councilmember Whitaker, I don't think that's what they're suggesting. What they're suggesting to is, and it's a conversation we had at the time when the sales tax was before the citizens of Mesa, there were actually funds allocated for doing some improvements also at Ben U. And the theory was, too, that if the economic agreement as far as paying rent or the responsibilities for the care and maintenance of facilities, that we would consider the opportunity to extend those same terms to Ben U if and when an ASU agreement was done. In the original development of Ben U before ASU came, those were not the terms that were agreed to by Ben U under their response to the proposal. They agreed to pay rent for the improvements that were made that excluded the actual building itself. But the city also carries on some responsibilities for maintenance. But I think that's all on the table. I mean, the council can certainly consider that. In the future, if we want to have kind of some kind of, I don't know, parity or equity, but it wasn't the dollar amount. It had to do with the business terms of the agreement and the relationship between the city and the universities.
Mr. Luna.
Mr. Brady, was Ben U voter approved?
No.
Council, other comments?
Just a quick question.
Chris.
Two quick questions, probably directed towards Mr. Smith. Can you explain what the difference is between the deal that was structured with Ben U compared to the deal that we're working on with ASU right now? And the IGA that we're voting on tonight, does that actually guarantee that we're going to go forward, or can you please explain the processes that will be moving forward?
Mayor, Councilmember Glover. The deals are structured differently just at the very core. The Ben U deal, as I remember, it's a 15-year lease with an option to purchase. There's been a couple amendments also to that lease for a reduction on rent. The lease with ASU that's at least being considered within the IGA is a 99-year lease with no option to purchase. So that's the basic sort of structure of the deal. The IGA is very similar to an MOU. In fact, many times in the study session, it was referred to as an MOU. It does lay out a number of the terms. In fact, how the IGA is set up is that the number of the terms of the IGA are set up as to deal terms that are intended to be included in the lease, and then there's even a separate exhibit that even further describes some of the terms that are intended to be included within the lease. We've negotiated that way to sort of start the process in good faith to come to an agreement as to what those terms will be when we enter into that lease. But you also see in a number of places within the IG, there's language that says it's still subject to negotiation within the lease. That's not to say that we intend to sort of just back out of everything that's within what's in within the IGA. But it's, you know, the IGA is intended to be a framework of what we go forward to, with the lease. I think it's section 14 off the top of my head within the IGA that talks about all the ways in which basically the deal, and as I discussed in the study session, that there's conditions precedent, requirements that have to occur before you actually have the deal. I rarely read parts of the documents, but this has been such a big issue, both at the study session. I think I'll read a portion of the document because it just really sort of emphasizes that this is the first step, but there's many more steps that councils, so we can have this conversation actually again, and we will. So the termination of the agreement, it says that the parties, in the event the parties do not agree on each of the city center master plan and budget, the public infrastructure plan and budget, the design guidelines and overall initial project budget, or by or before July 1st of 2019, city for any reason does not obtain or notifies the AC that is unable to obtain financing in amount sufficient for the completion of the phase one, either party may elect to terminate this agreement. And so, obviously, if we don't decide to issue bonds, and we wouldn't issue bonds unless we enter into a lease, we'll probably bring the lease and the bond issuance before back to council at the same time or very close in time, this project doesn't move forward. So in that sense, this really is somewhere similar to an MOU, but has greater detail than what you'd see in some of the MOUs. But the lease will ultimately be the document that will govern many of the terms, and will embed, the lease will embed many of these terms within it. So that's as going forward, how, you know, it'd go forward in the negotiations.
Thank you. Council, other comments or questions before we vote? I do have some comments, and I've tried to not be overly partisan tonight. I apologize if it appeared that I favored one side over the other. I do. I'm a politician. I have opinions. I think this is a great idea, and I think it's an opportunity that I hope our city doesn't pass. Unfortunately, I think that the debate tonight has been somewhat clouded by getting caught up into some internal Mesa politics, and it's been presented as, are you going to support public safety or are you going to pursue this project? And that is a false framing of the issue here. Our city has famously supported public safety. It is a top priority in our community. This is not an either or proposition. We will continue to fully fund public safety. That is our top priority. This is not, we're not choosing one or the other. We are at the beginning of our budget hearings right now. Over the next couple of months, we're going to have many meetings discussing the public safety budget. And I invite those in the room who are so passionate on that topic to please participate in those meetings and to please come and say everything that you've said tonight and more. And we will fully vet all of the questions that might be related to public safety. And I assure you, and I know, in speaking with all my council members, that the public safety funding is not going to be shortchanged in this city. So please stay tuned and please continue to participate in that discussion. I jotted down a couple of notes. I won't bore you with things other than what just responding to some of the things that I've heard tonight. The comment was made by my friend who called me out for being partisan a moment ago, that what we ought to do is study the program, get to the bottom of this, find out what it's going to cost, how are we going to pay for that. That is exactly what we're doing tonight. As Mr. Smith indicated a moment ago, this is far from the final vote on whether or not we go forward with this. After we enter into this intergovernmental agreement with ASU, that authorizes our city manager to engage in meaningful, substantive discussions with ASU and to develop a construction budget. You've heard a wide range of numbers thrown out here tonight as to what this building might cost. It's really, you know, an uninformed conversation that we're having at this point, because we need to do a detailed budget regarding construction, find out what the number is that we're talking about. After that, we then enter into negotiations for a lease agreement. So there, and that will be very detailed in describing the obligations of the city vis-a-vis the obligations of ASU. So those are two great hurdles where all of the meat will be hung on the bones of what this deal is. Only after those two things have occurred will there be the ultimate vote as to whether or not the city goes forward. If the construction costs have gone way up, we know that. So if after doing the due diligence associated with pursuing this, we discover that it's just too expensive, that will be the answer. But I think at this point, the question is, do we want to engage in that investigation and engage in that due diligence to possibly take advantage of this opportunity? I think saying no before we do that homework is not the best route for us to go. As it is structured, a comment was made that we're giving ASU a free building. That's far from the case. I have to tell you, if ASU, frankly, I think that this is not something that we're doing for ASU nearly as much as this is something that ASU would be doing for our community. The investment that they're going to make in our community is going to be very, very substantial. Our obligation would be to construct the brick and mortar, and then we hand the keys over to ASU, and then in perpetuity, they're responsible for all of the costs related to that building. Not just the operation and maintenance of that building, but they're investing tens of millions of dollars into the high-tech infrastructure that's going into that building. They're investing in scholarships. They're investing in many faculty members and the staff. They are paying rent to the city of Mesa. They are paying for the security costs related to that building. So all of that, that's the framework that's been negotiated to this point. But ASU's investment in this building at some point, fairly early on, is going to eclipse the investment that our city is making. It's been talked about the model that has been followed in downtown Phoenix. I would suggest that that's a great model for us to look to. It's been very successful. Phoenix would build as many buildings as ASU would ask them to because of the great return that they've experienced in following this model. I would suggest that we look to the great model of BenU as another example of whether or not this works. The city assisted BenU in getting into that building. As a result of that, about a month ago, we had a great zoning case here in the city of Mesa where Tony Wall came forward with a $60 million investment adjacent to BenU, bringing cahoots and living space to downtown Mesa and partnering with a higher education institution. The reason he brought that project is because he was attracted by a higher education institution. That's the model that we're suggesting here, is using higher ed for two purposes. First, the societal benefits of increasing higher education attainment in our city. It was, I think several people mentioned that, and this is the fact, Mesa is an undereducated community. When we compare ourselves with our neighboring communities, Mesa has a far lower number when it comes to higher education attainment. As a result of that, predictably, Mesa's per capita income is substantially less than our neighbors. We can ignore that, and we can think that if we do nothing about that, that it will magically change and that our community at some point will become prosperous. But that's not a realistic expectation. I'm sorry, I didn't want to go on and on. I've talked about this a lot. I've written about it a lot. I think my thoughts and feelings on this are well documented. So we'll go ahead and call for the question at this point. Sure.
So I just want to, my opinion is just looking at the statistical side. If you guys know me, I'm simply about numbers and if that makes logical sense. So I just want to state a couple of facts as it pertains to ASU before we proceed with our vote. 2016, 81,993 voters told us they did not want us to pay for ASU. If we take this $75 million and burden it to our electric users, this burdens $4,484.57 per electric user. If we take the $75 million and burden it to our water users, this is $582.38 per water user. Lastly, if we take the $75 million and burden it to our gas users, this is $1,209.48 per gas user. The head football coach at ASU makes $3.2 million a year. This is 178 times the per capita income of the census tract for one job at ASU. We could fund 750 businesses with loans and grants up to $100,000 each. We could fund 75 businesses with loans and grants with up to $1 million apiece. This is real innovation. A $75 million project will cost $154 for every citizen in Mesa. We have $1.7 billion in debt, which has increased 48% over the last 10 years. It's my opinion that enough is enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy. And you reminded me that it's something that has been spoken of about frequently tonight is question one. And the comment was made, well, the voters said no. So what part of that do you not understand? Let's remind ourselves what question one was. The question one was a 0.4% sales tax increase. I was actively involved in campaigning for that campaign. I know that all of the messaging that was done related to that campaign related to public safety. And I don't believe for a minute that the voters of Mesa, when they said no to a sales tax increase, were saying, we're instructing you not to go hire more police officers and firefighters. I know that's not the case. They were not voting no to public safety. They were not voting no to higher education. They were voting no to a sales tax increase. Over the last several months, we've been involved in a community engagement initiative called Imagine Mesa. It's been proven to be very successful. We engaged with over 67,000 residents in the city of Mesa. The number one idea that was generated out of that project was establish an ASU campus in downtown Mesa as an anchor for an innovation district. And here's the kicker, do it with no tax increase. So those are that's the distinction here. The voters have spoken, and it was reaffirmed again in public polling that's occurred, all of 67,000 people. We're interested in ASU, but we're not interested in having our taxes increase. So that's the message that I'm working under. Now, if the only way we can do this is to raise taxes, then the answer is an obvious no, because the voters have voted, they have said we can't do that. I'll go as far as to say if the only way we can do this is to raise utility rates, I would consider that a tax increase of sorts. I'm not interested in doing that either. So I think our marching orders from the voters and from the city residents are very, very clear. And so going forward, I think that's the test that will apply to this.
I just want to point out one thing. On the Imagine Mesa website, there were 438 people that voted for the ASU project with no sales tax. In 2016, there were 81,993 voters who told us they didn't want to move forward with ASU. This pales in comparison.
I think I would like to add also, Mayor, I spent a lot of time in my community, in my district, talking to the voters, talking to my constituents, trying to understand what's important to them. After question one failed, the number one reason I was told is because it had ASU attached to it. They said if the question would have been split, they would have supported public safety, and they still would have voted no for ASU. That was from pretty much every single constituent that I've ever spoken to in my district.
Well, I've talked to a lot of folks that have told me the opposite, but I think what's clear is, again, that you're linking it to a tax increase, and we're talking about a very different question. Can we do it without a tax increase? That's what we're pursuing right now. Mr. Reddy, I hear you on the phone. I apologize for neglecting to invite you to participate in this. Do you have something to say?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say I apologize for not being there in person. I heard all the pros and cons, and I welcome anybody during this process to meet with me and keep hearing their concerns, and schedule any meetings in the future to make sure that we have a transparent process moving forward. But I echo the mayor's comments as far as on the public safety side. I don't think this is an either-or concept. I firmly, myself as a council member representing District 3, I will definitely push as much as possible to ensure that we fund our Mesa police and fire departments to the growing needs that we need as a community all across Mesa, and not only in District 3, but across the city. So I'm looking at this as an investment, both in the short term and more pronouncedly in for the long term, for our future students that might choose an institution like this, or go to MCC or go to one of the other institutions that is in Mesa. The more options that we can provide the next generation, the better, I feel. As far as the economic development that has been talked about, I think we should learn from our neighbors and what they've done right and what they've done wrong, and apply these concepts to how we can make it work for Mesa and make it our own and have the initiative to really have this Mesa project for both, again, the short term and the long term. I wanted to share this. I apologize not being there in person. I had a family item, but I welcome to be as transparent as possible with anybody that wants to meet with me and move forward this work. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Heredia. I was handed one additional card. I'm sorry we're not going to give that person the opportunity to speak, but I will note that Chase Wilson indicated he wanted to speak in support of the project. Mr. Freeman.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to approve 18-0235, authorizing the city manager into an IGA with the Arizona Board of Regents for and behalf of ASU for the development, and operation, and maintenance of educational facilities in downtown Mesa.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Luna. Please cast your vote. Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Freeman, will you push your button for the motion? And Mr. Luna, thank you very much. Motion's been made by Mr. Freeman, seconded by Vice Mayor Luna. Please cast your vote. Mr. Heredia, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion passes 5 ayes to 2 nays. The next item on our agenda, thank you very much, and thank you to the public for being here. Whether you're for this or against it, I got to tell you, I'm proud of our city. I'm proud of the way that we engaged tonight and of the comments that were made. So thank you very much. The next item on our agenda is items from citizens present. I do have one person who has filed a card to speak. That is Stacy Phelan. Please do your best to not make a lot of noise as you exit the room. And Stacy, please step forward. Stacy, I apologize. There might be some background noise while
That's
you
all
right. speak. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, please do your best. We do have a speaker. Please be respectful that the meeting is continuing and do your best to be quiet. Thank you. Please proceed, Stacy.
Mayor, Council, thank you. I'm here as a mom, as a grandmother. I've been up since 3:30 because I get up at 3:30 and I work 6 days a week. Nobody in my neighborhood will come here and speak. And what I wanted to say to everybody leaving is that to even be here tonight, you have to be alive. You can't be dead. And there's an intersection by my house. I've been there 21 years. And people are flying through that intersection, 35 miles, 40 miles an hour, and just causing accident after accident after accident. And I went to the city planner in December because I thought, you know, what can I do? I mean, I'm seeing this. I leave the house very early, and it's insane. I mean, I've been on the planet a while. I've seen a lot of red light running, but not like this. It's just Carriage Lane and Guadalupe. So stay away from that intersection and don't go through there. I avoid it when I do have to go through it, and I've told my daughter, who's 20, my sons, who are in their 30s, I thought I need to walk my neighborhood and do a petition or something, and instead I found Nextdoor.com. So after that, and I started posting about the intersection, and I'm in District 3, my neighbors started posting about it too. And there's a woman who's been totaled at that intersection. There's a gentleman who's been totaled at that intersection. There's been accident after accident. And very unfortunately, a young man just died at that intersection. His name is Paul Robert Ruiz Jr., 18 years old. Beautiful, vibrant kid who could probably be doing something really awesome like this if he weren't killed. And I just felt like somebody needed to come here and bring it to your attention. And what's wrong at that intersection? My daughter and I drove it on Saturday. When you come up, you're going west, the two lights appear as one. It's like an optical illusion. The lights are superimposed on each other, and all my neighbors are talking about that. And by the way, I learned how to tweet the other day because I thought, if you guys aren't going to respond to my emails, I'll tweet. So I tweeted you, and I tweeted that guy, and I even tweeted this guy who has a private
group because I can't tweet him because I have to be approved. But anyway, I appreciate all that you guys do, but I just don't want to see more people die there. I wrote on the site, you know, I don't want to see, and then this kid died, you know, and that accident. Okay, I want to just go back to the design and I'll stop talking. When you drive towards that intersection, you're coming up on the two lights. They're really close to each other. There's Carriage Lane and then the 101. And the light is superimposed. And my daughters in the passenger seat were like, this is going on for like a full minute. You're 35, 40 miles an hour and they're superimposed on each other. But then your eyes are drawn by the two big signs there. And those are for the freeway. So you're automatically thinking you're at the freeway, but you're not. And then all of a sudden, you're at an intersection. And literally, I don't know what you can do about studying it. I mean, if you guys aren't going to change it, I'll start a GoFundMe page, you know? I mean, we've got to have flashing lights ahead of that or another intersection at Cottonwood or, I mean, I would put up signs, but, you know, you guys will just take them down. But I really appreciate the time to speak, and I'm going to go home and go to bed.
Thank you, Stacy. Because this is not on our agenda, we can't specifically respond to the issues that you've asked.
But I understand.
Look at, see the gentleman in the back of the room whose hand is up?
Yeah.
Would you please talk with him, and he'll make arrangements to connect you and to Mr. Freeman and myself so we can talk to the Transportation Department and address your concerns?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Mr. Heredia's district. Excuse me. Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate
it. So you see the gentleman in the back of the room?
This was really fascinating. I mean, I know you guys do it all the time, but thank you.
Thank you for, I wish I could say it's always as fascinating, but it's not. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes the items on our agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn this meeting? Thank you very much. All in favor, please say aye. Aye. We are adjourned.